It was snowing pretty hard. And I was in a single engine 210 airplane, and I was weaving my way not over but through the Blue Ridge Mountains. There'd be a mountain up here, there'd be a mountain up here, and the reason I was weaving my way through is because it was just solid, icy overcast, and so I had to stay down in the valleys, weaving between the valleys as it was dumping snow. Not where a South Carolina pilot would choose to be, but fortunately, in the co-pilot seat was Duane King. And Duane King knows all about flying in the snow between the mountains under frozen ceilings. So he coached me through that. And that's Duane King. Duane King teaches missionary pilots in Alaska. Where Duane flies, most of the time is spent flying among the mountains rather than over the mountains. And it's always just horrible weather and gray and dangerous conditions. No, but there's a lot of that. And so Duane was a missionary in Russia. He's going to tell you about that. And then Duane, many years ago, founded an organization called Kingdom Air Corps. You should look it up on the internet, kingdomaircorps.org. And if you find yourself in Alaska, you could go there. What you would find is that they have a training facility there, their own airport, which sits on top of a mountain. And they have a bunch of bush planes there, tail dragger, single engine planes with big, huge tires, some of them. And they teach people who want to be missionaries in remote areas how to fly airplanes and how to fix airplanes. Duane sends missionaries all over the world, so the remotest parts of the earth. And that's my beloved friend, Duane King.
Thank you. Thank you, Curtis. Well, I have been in some exciting times and places with him. And I tell you, pastor's message this morning, whoa, had me riveted, had me glued to that because it happened to be on one of my missionary journeys. I was in an airplane flying from Moscow to Amsterdam, and there was a lady sitting next to me, and I'm always ready to start a conversation to somehow get somebody to understand about who I am in Christ, as we learned about. And what it is about my life that makes me go to Russia and to Africa, to Alaska, and around the world. And so I sat next to this lady. I began a conversation. I said, where are you from? She says, I am from Malta. Oh, I said, I know of a guy that had a boating accident there once. Just what I said. She says, you mean the Apostle Paul? And I was amazed that she had said that. I said, yeah, the Apostle Paul. I said, I am a missionary like the Apostle Paul. And I work in Siberia and Alaska, and I am one of God's frozen chosen. And I started laughing, and we were carrying on. And she was talking in this Italian, strong Italian accent in English. And so I shared with her about what I do today, 2,000 years later, after he had that boating accident. She told me all about it. She says, yes, we have a monument there and a plaque, and it really happened. It really is happening. And what Pastor told about this story, it's history. It's true. And it oftentimes we go into the Bible and we think these are just stories, but listen, these are true. This is the Word of God. And we find that God is the same God that commissioned Paul and the disciples and the apostles, and they carried the gospel across the earth. And I'm part of that. And I want to introduce you to the other part of that, and her name is Kathy. Sweetheart, there you go. Stand up. Now you just say, well, how come she's so much younger and more beautiful than him, and he is so old, and what's the story of their life? Well, I'm not going to get into that story, but I want to tell you, she is a miracle of God's work and change in her life. She was a hippie. And she came and got stuck in a little town called Tok, Alaska. And she was on drugs and she had hitchhiked from California. Yeah. Remember the hippies? Right. And what did they drive? There's an old hippie right there, Jack. And it's a marvelous story. We'll tell you about it some other time. But Kathy was saved in this little town, 1975. And we have known her. And she was a good friend of my wife of 54 years, Carolyn. And Carolyn passed away. Kathy came to the funeral. And the Lord began to speak to her heart. What is going to happen to Dwayne? He is going to fail without Carolyn. Everybody knew that it was Carolyn that held Dwayne together like those ropes around the boat, holding me together. And the Lord began to work with her in a year, and finally she had to come back to Alaska, find out what kind of shipwreck I was in after a year. And she says, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? So I'm going to go serve the Lord. He called me. I am a missionary. I only want to do one thing, and that is die in my missionary boots and go as far and set up missionary bases like we've been doing, training missionary pilots and getting them to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, and I'll lead them. I built this wall up because I wondered what she was thinking about. And so she says, you're going to get married? I said, I don't think so. There's not a woman in the world would jump on my boat with a 75-year-old captain and go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And you know what she said? I would. My walls came tumbling down and I was speechless. And so the rest of the story is right here on her left ring, her finger. We are married 3 years ago, and we are serving the Lord and traveling and carrying on God's work. I'm so grateful for Kathy. Well, my life is full of history and stories that really happened. And I love to tell these stories because they explain and show by my real life that these kind of things have happened. I have many people that have written about these things. In fact, Kathy began to write about Kingdom Air Corps and Dwayne King and the young pilots and missionaries that are serving the Lord all over the world from Kingdom Air Corps. And so these things really happen. And today, we heard the story. It happened just like that. And we want to encourage you to hear the voice of the Lord saying, serve me. Go. Give your life. And so that's the bottom line. That's our prayer for you, that you will hear God's call upon your life to take you from where you are right now, who you are, And you say, here am I, send me. Well, on one such thing that happened to me was the first journey that I made to Russia. And I was in a small six-seater airplane, and you're going to see one right now on video. And if you would show that first video showing about Kingdom Air Corps. PR. No kidding. This is the high Arctic where we work, above the Arctic Circle. Kingdom Air Corps started with a desire to train and prepare missionary pilots for work in the bush of Alaska and in more remote places around the world. This airplane is right here. The people that we have coming to Kingdom Air Corps are people usually with flight training from one of the universities or colleges that are training missionary pilots. So they come often with a commercial instrument, multi-engine, some of them even with a flight instructor rating.
Hi, we're Mike and Anna Palmeter.
We're from Michigan.
We're preparing to serve with AIM Air, part of Africa Inland Mission.
We came to Kingdom Air Corps because we thought it'd really benefit us as a couple to see kind of what missionary aviation is really like.
And as a pilot and mechanic, I've been able to get a lot of experience flying and working in the shop doing maintenance projects.
We take parts, airplanes, like this six airplanes put together right here in this white
room. I'm Bud Austin, President Emeritus of Laterna University. Served in that role for 21 years and retired in the summer of 2007. I've been coming to this site for Kingdom Air Corps since the summer of 1998, when this was mostly just a dream. One of the things that I'm excited about is the way that Kingdom Air Corps recruits young people, students from Laterna University, but from other campuses and other locations around the country, to come here to learn about being not only a pilot, but a missionary pilot, people who want to give their heart and their life to serving the Lord on the mission field, primarily using aircraft as their means of transportation and outreach.
Daniel Grauman. I'm at Kingdom Air Corps as a flight instructor and airplane mechanic. I've learned a lot about operating the airplanes off of gravel runways, grass runways, short runways, confined spaces, flying in the mountains. A lot of airplane maintenance. Learned a lot about maintaining airplanes out in the bush where maybe parts are unavailable.
Experience with missionary type aircraft, Cessna 206s, Cessna 182s, and they gain that experience in the mountains, long distance flying up to the Arctic, many other places that we go in Alaska to train them in types of flying that they will do perhaps on some mission field somewhere.
To start the summer off with a focus on our Bible camp, which is held up in northern Alaska. I was on the more on the end of teaching, and that's my background, and I helped organize the events, the just kind of every little detail going into the planning of camp, while Mike was able to focus more on the technical side.
And so everybody else that's there, the pilot and mechanics, we're busy getting ready all of the aircraft that we're going to fly up to camp. We do all the flight planning, all of the maintenance, all of the things that are necessary to take a long trip up into northern Alaska.
Not only do they get the experience of flying and being PIC up to the Arctic, but they also get the experience of a pioneer missionary Bible camp, bush camp, training or evangelizing many different young people from those Arctic villages.
A lot of our staff are Russians or Burma and other countries, and they come and they get this experience as missionary pilots and working and starting Bible camps. That's what a lot of this is about. The Brooks Range is the farthest mountain range north of the Arctic Circle. That's where all this takes place. Every year, 38 years of this.
The devotionals, the sharing and the fellowshipping together, the challenging each other to grow in their faith and to make life commitments is truly one of the most exciting things that I see here.
We get into the Word. We talk about personal spiritual needs of being in missions. And so that's a real important part of our time. There's a lot of coaching, encouraging, and discipling of those that come.
I think one of the best things about Kingdom Air Corps is just how exciting it is to be there, to be in that part of the country, way north and in the midst of the mountains and glaciers, and being there with just such a great group of people.
One of the things that is noted around here is that we help people find the will of God for their life. So we have this expression, God loves you and Dwayne has a wonderful plan for your life. And that plan is to serve the Lord with your whole heart, mind, body, soul, wings, hands, and all of your airplane ratings.
God loves you. Dwayne has a wonderful plan for your life and a plane for your wife. And they come and they fall in love. And next thing you know, you have a missionary couple. And this is what happens almost every year at Kingdom Air Corps. Well, about 1989, things were happening in the Soviet Union. And we remember, some of us that were watching those days when President Reagan stood in Berlin and he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." And the wall came down and we watched in amazement. Well, we were right at the Soviet border at that time on the east side. So that was over in Berlin, Germany, and on the west side, and we were on the far east. Alaska is only 3 miles from Russia. And so we began to pray. The wall is coming down. This is a day of history and missions. This is an opportunity to maybe go and start to bring the Word of God into the Far East across the Bering Sea. I began to pray about this. I began to look into the possibilities of flying over across the Bering Sea. I had flown for 30 years, 25 years. In that region, I had been working in Eskimo villages along Nome and Teller and Shishmaref and Kotzebue and all of those villages flying.
And so we wondered if that would be possible to fly actually over to across the international dateline and to fly into Russia. In fact, Danielle, could you kind of look through there? And there's a map of Russia and Alaska. Maybe you can pull that out of there, and I want to show you where this, where I'm talking about. But we began to pray. I began to collect Russian Bibles, English and Russian, parallel Bibles, Dulot versions. I couldn't speak a word of Russian. And so we began to know that we'd have to bring the gospel in Russian to these people. So I gathered together as many Russian Bibles as I could. I was flying a Piper Navajo 6 Charlie Charlie. It was actually Coca-Cola's first corporate airplane. And Charlie Charlie, of course. And my son David owned that airplane. And so we started filling it up. And our wives packed our lunches, and they said, there's no food or very little food. There's long bread lines in Russia. You're going to need food. They packed bags of fruit and bread and all of this. And the day came September 1st, 1991. And I loaded everybody in the airplane in Glen Allen, Alaska, our mission headquarters, and we took off. And so we're going to show you what it was kind of like there. Now, I need some volunteers. I see that hand, McKinlan. Come on, it'd be, and here is your seat. And I need some other help. What's your name?
Joyce.
I had a Joy?
Joyce.
Oh, Joyce. Well, right here, you're going to sit in the back where the turbulence is really felt. And I need John. Come on, John. Come on over here. And I need a young person. Come on, you help us. You be right back here. And then I need a pilot. And is there anybody here a pilot? Yes, Jeff. I see your hand. I am glad that you volunteered. Jack was pointing at you. You sit right here, and we are going to fly, you and I, to Russia. Now, we are fully loaded. We are in Nome, Alaska, and we are ready to go. Now, we have, yeah, you're going to need to, you'll be sweating here, for sure. And so then we are ready to go, and we make the takeoff, and I climb up to 3,000 meters. Well, I never used meters. We had to convert everything to metric because this is the Russian system. And we climbed up to 3,000 meters, about 9,000 feet. And we took off. So we are flying along, Jeff and I, and my co-pilot was actually Tim Harold, a Wycliffe Bible Translator pilot. Jars, and so we are flying along, and we get to the border. Well, I'm flying right for the border, and I say, okay, let's call the border. And so I picked up the microphone and I made the call. Providinia Control, this is Navajo 6 Charlie Charlie. Long pause. I'm looking for MiGs. At any time, we are scared to death. And Jeff has been there in this area. He knows you fly right along the border of Russia. And it's been dangerous. And FAA, Federal Aviation Agency, would always tell me, don't fly over the border because MiGs will be sent up and you'll have company. And so, but this day, I had a flight permit that would allow me to fly into the former Soviet Union. Providinia Control, Navajo 6 Charlie Charlie. Long pause. Finally, a scratchy, staticky radio call came back.
Navajo 6, Charlie, we read you.
Man, the chills went up my spine. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. It sounded like this was a long tunnel right straight from the Kremlin. And the call had come. We're at the Russian border, and we'd like to have clearance into Soviet airspace.
Stand by.
Stand by. And I said, I'm waiting. And finally, he comes back, and he says,
Six and Charlie, come to Russia.
And so we made this flight in there, and then all of a sudden, I'm beginning to think about it. Just came to my mind that I couldn't take fruit. And if I were to bring fruit across the border, or if it would be caught in the airplane, this might hinder our real mission of getting the Gospels in. So I had this fruit, and in the back seat, everybody had, and I says, here, you guys eat the fruit right now and finish it quickly. So you eat that banana, buddy, because you don't want to get caught by the Russian soldiers. And so they were eating. Go ahead, open it up, because I'm going to need the peel. And so they were gobbling it down in the back, and we're getting closer and closer to the land. And I say, okay, we're going to land any minute, you guys. Now eat everything. Eat everything. How's he doing? He's not doing so well. And so he says, look, I cannot eat this banana peel. And he hands it back to me. And he says, you're going to have to hide it or something. So I'm looking for a place to hide it. No place. We've got to get rid of this banana peel. Look, there's even a tag on it. And so I said, here's the window. I opened up the small window and threw it back. Where'd it go? Okay. Well, I didn't bother to look until it was time to land. And as I came in for a landing, there was the banana peel on the tail. And it was flapping in the breeze. Go get that banana peel. Hand it over here. Okay. I couldn't get anybody to get out on there, on the wing, and get it. But there it was. It was dangling back there. And I thought, the first missionary flight into Russia, and he comes in with a banana peel on his tail. This is crazy. But as we landed, the banana peel slithered off down onto the runway. We taxied up, and there it was, a dilapidated, falling apart Russian concrete rebar, all exposed, and it looked terrible. But as soon as I shut the engines down, help me shut the engines down, you know how to do that. And we shut the engines down, yeah, all the switches off and everything, and out comes 14 guards. Russian guards with those Russian hats on, yep. Yeah, he showed me, he's got one. He stole it from Russia, I'm sure. He's got it at his house. And so there it was, and there they were, and they're staring at us, and the guard pointed to me, the officer, you, Pilot, he's talking through that little window. You, Pilot, come me. So I got out and I showed him my manifest and all of the paperwork and everything. And he took me into customs. And there he put me in a small room with this young customs lady. They could only get these young people to serve in this cold, frozen north. And that's where they would send them. Now, this is the land of the gulag. And so we were there, and she put me into the, he put me into this room with this lady, And she says,
"Что это?"
I didn't know Russian. Does anybody here know Russian?
What is that?
She knows Russian.
Oh, what is that, right? What is it? Что это? And so I said, "I'm sorry, I don't speak Russian." And then she says, "What is this?" Is that kind of how you talked when you first came? "What is this?" And, "Oh," I said, "you speak English." And I started rattling of, "Oh, well, that's my baggage, and these are my gifts, and I'm going to give away gifts." And I've said, "Oh, there's some clothes in there." And you aren't the one, you weren't there, were you? You look just like that girl. And so she says, "Нельзя." No allow. No allow. And so I said, "What?" She says, "Biblia." Bible. No allow. I says, "Well, oh man, I am praying. It's like I am when I'm standing before people that I really want to share the gospel, and I don't know what to say. I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm scared." And so I didn't know, so I was praying. I can't give up these Bibles. This is why we came. And then so finally I said, "They're just gifts." And she says, "Нет." Goes like this, "No." And I said, "Do you have a Bible?" She says, "Нет." I spoke in English, but she answered in Russian. And then she looked at me, she says, "You give me one?" She says, "I give you two." And I gave her two. And she had just a little bit of a smile and said, go. Иди туда. And I went out into the hallway, and then everybody in the hallway greeted me. And then they said, "Oh, приезжайте, welcome. And they began to greet me like wonderful Russian people are. And I felt right at home. They had heard that missionaries were coming. And I started handing out the Bibles. And pretty soon the air traffic controller came out of the tower and he saluted me. "Hi," you guys can all sit still. "Hi, I air traffic control. I talk you radio. You stay my dome, my house. Teach me talk airplane. Teach me how to talk to the airplanes." And so I said, "Yeah, we didn't have a place to stay. And we didn't know where we were going to stay. No kidding." And so we were just gone on faith. And so we went home with him and we got to his house. And he's asking all about America. He's 50-50, 50 English, 50 Russian. And we're communicating poorly, but he wants to know about life in Alaska and America. "You know John Wayne? VC Cowboy. Cowboy Kino." And so I said, "I don't know John Wayne, but I really like him." So we talked more and more and more. And then he said, Why you come, Russia?" Oh, boy. How am I going to tell this? How am I going to explain to him how God had sent me? How God had broken down the wall? How this was God's moment for Russia to get the word of God? And so I couldn't think about this. And then I thought, and I got one of those Russian Bibles,
And I turned to Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. Yes. The Great
Commission.
This is what God spoke to my heart to go with. The Great Commission. The commission that he gave the disciples to take the gospel to every nation. The word of God that he wanted us to preach to all nations. I thought, here it is. The best answer I could give him. And he read it. Idi tu da do kraj zemlje I propovjedit evangelia. Go to the uttermost parts of the earth and preach the gospel. He read it. And he understood every word. And so then he starts asking me, Što et the evangelia? What is the evangelia? What is the gospel? And I began to take him to Romans 10 and Acts and tell him the stories about how the disciples were sent and how they went and gave the gospel. He said, I no believe. I want believe. Amen. I thought, oh my goodness. Wow, okay, here we go. And I began to take him to the scriptures and give him the gospel. And he said to me, what I do be safe. Oh, I remember. Where is that found? Acts chapter 16, verse 30. And he reads it about the same question that he had asked me. I said, read the next verse. Vieri Isusa Christa I budjeti me et spasinja I vaša doma. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. How I do this. And I remember using that Bible. I was flipping around and I found a prayer of confession. Repentance. Pokajica. In the back. And he looked at it. And I said, read that prayer. He read it. And I said, Nikolai. You believe? Da. You can pray right now. And he took that and he stood up and he put out his arms and he said, Prosti mene Bog. God, forgive me. And we were amazed at the power of God. He said, this is what was meant in reality and in truth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Amen. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And I am with you, the great verse of comfort. Be encouraged. God is in you. In his Holy Spirit, and he allows you to speak the truth that he wants people to understand. Yeah. It happens to me every day of my life. I know that power. I know that promise. And God does it. Amen. We got in the airplane 3 days later, took off. Take off. And as we were climbing out over the Bering Sea, Nikolai came up on the radio. I had taught him one phrase, bless your heart. And he got on the radio and he said, Six Charlie. Bless your heart. Please come back.
I made 15 more trips, carrying many gospels and many missionaries until 1993, when they said, come back and stay. And I remember what had happened when Paul gave his defense against Agrippa. And he said, I was appointed a servant and a witness of what you have seen of me, and I will show you. And the Lord said to Paul, I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith. God will do it. When you hear the voice of God saying, go, go, go. Now that begins today. Go. And he is speaking to your heart. Go, because you know a neighbor, a daughter, a son, a mother, a father, a relative, a neighbor, a co-worker that needs to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Go. Okay, I got to look, see what time it is. It's time to quit, isn't it? So you guys have your seat.
The pastor has been preaching through the book of Acts, and my mind goes back to a passage that he read from us. It comes from Acts chapter 14.
The early church did. Let me read this for you. At the conclusion of the first missionary journey of Paul, when they had arrived and gathered the church together, now speaking of Paul and the church, they began to report to them all the things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Amen. God has stories for you. He has good works prepared beforehand. He has things much bigger than you can do. God has stories for you to tell. Don't live your life without stories to tell. Father, thank you so much for Dwayne and for the ministry that you have raised up through him. God, Dwayne is older. Dwayne is in his 70s. And you have orchestrated it that way because you have designed that young men in our church and young women in our church and middle-aged men and women in our church take up the call to carry the gospel forward and have stories to tell. Grant us grace and wisdom that we don't trade those stories for junk and trinkets, for television and air conditioning, for golf, for the next model of car that is soon going to rot. May we not trade our stories for junk. Amen. We are dismissed.